Radio Daily for not Monday, but you know, wherever you are, you're probably still having a curfew going to happen this evening. So, you know, later, let's do something so you don't even think about going out. We'll talk about it. Look for us on Facebook and all that crazy crap. It's just the way the world goes. And welcome to the 2nd of June. We're moving right along, bump-a-dump, getting it done. We're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com and the folks that are bringing it to you today. Well, the man that's figured out since I'm stuck at home all this damn time, I should write a book about modern-day America. That there is podcasting's Rich Siegfried.
Be prepared to fight to the death.
That's an odd title. And I'm the guy that's just tired all the time. Sorry, it's the way of life. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
I'm going to lay here for a while, Katie. I'm old now and I get tired.
It's just the kind of thing that happens. What happened, though, on this fine day in history, sir?
In 1858, the Donati Comet is first seen, named after its discoverer, Giovanni Battista Donati of Florence, Italy.
1875, Alexander Graham Bell discovers he can hear the sound of a twanging clock spring transmitted over a wire while working on his experimental harmonic telegraph. Bell's assistant, Thomas Watson, was attempting to free a reed from the pole of an electromagnet when it twanged. Bell, working in the telegraph's receiving room, heard the noise and came to realize that transmitting speech should be possible, as the complexity of the twang bore a resemblance to the tones of a human voice, as I've told you many times when you speak.
Aw. And of course, it figures that the very first sound that would ever go across any sort of a phone line would be mindless nonsense that is barely understandable. Speaking of which, in 1891, Thomas A. Edison is issued a patent for his sextuplex telegraph. Hello, I'd like you to talk dirty to me.
1896, the first radio patent was issued to Guglielmo Marconi in England for his wireless telegraphy apparatus, described as improvements in transmitting electrical impulses and signals and its apparatus therefore, which sounds really hard when you go, hey, will you turn on the... I'm not saying it again.
1955, construction of the Baikonur Cosmodrome launch facility in Soviet Kazakhstan begins. While it is built as a long-range missile facility, it will eventually be expanded for launching space missions.
I like bacon. 1966, the NASA Lunar Lander Surveyor 1 lands in Oceanus Procellarum, the Ocean of Storms on the Moon, becoming the first spacecraft to set down on an extraterrestrial body in the course of its lifetime. It'll transmit 11,000 pictures of the surface back to Earth.
2003, the Walt Disney Company publicly launches the Memoir Pig Toontown Online for personal computers. It is marketed as the first Memoir Pig designed for children with kids-safe restrictions.
Until all the diddlers showed up. Birthdays?
The very lovely Marina Baccarin is 40, from Firefly, V, Talia al Ghul in the DC animated series, Gotham, and of course the Deadpool movies.
Justin Long is 42, from Jeepers Creepers, Dodgeball, he was the Mac guy, Alvin and the Chipmunks, Idiocracy, and the underloved Tusk.
Yes, Dominic Cooper is 42, he was Howard Stark in the MCU, Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter, and of course was fantastic in Preacher.
I think he was also in the Warcraft movie. Wentworth Miller is 48 from Underworld, Resident Evil Afterlife, Prison Break, and is Snart, or Captain Cold if you prefer, in the DC verse.
Oh, fantastic. Dana Carvey is 65. Yeah, Dana Carvey, 65. From Spinal Tap, SNL, Tough Guys, Wayne's World, Secret Life of Pets, as well as The Dana Carvey Show, brought to you by Taco Bell, and of course, Blue Thunder, the TV series.
He was a master of disguise. Dennis Haysbert is 66 from Major League, The 13th Floor, 24, Wreck-It Ralph, and Dark Tower.
Jerry Mathers is 72. He is the return of the Beaver.
We do love the double Beaver. Stacy Keach is 79. He was Sergeant Stadanko in Up in Smoke and Nice Dreams. He was the voice of the Phantasm in Batman Mask of the Phantasm, Dame to Kill For, Mike Hammer, and was brilliant on Titus.
And playing an extension of that character that he did on Titus, he was also in the, unfortunately, one-season run of Crowded featuring Patrick Warburton. He was Patrick Warburton's father.
Oh my God, I'd forgotten he was in that.
Sally Kellerman is 83. She was Hot Lips in the MASH film, the back-to-school Tony on Marin.
No longer with us, born in the state in 1899, Lotte Reiniger, German film director and the foremost pioneer of silhouette animation.
1918, Ruth Atkinson created Millie the Model and co-created Patsy Walker for Marvel.
1927, W. Watts Biggers, co-creator of Underdog.
On CBS, we got a rerun of NCIS, FBI, FBI Most Wanted.
ABC, it's a rerun of The Conners, a rerun of The Conners, a rerun of Modern Family, a rerun of Modern Family, and then Hunt for the Runway Killer on genetic detective. Oh, runaway. Runway sounds much more interesting.
Run, 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 runway. NBC auditions too on America's Got Talent and the qualifiers too of World of Dance.
On Fox, you've got a rerun of Hell's Kitchen followed by a rerun of Gordon Ramsay's 24 Hours to Hell and Back, where he tries to get Oedipus's girlfriend.
CW has a new Stargirl, and the legends find themselves in a world similar to the settings of George Orwell's 1984. Right now, am I right? And they find out things aren't the way they thought they would be on Legends of Tomorrow.
Freeform is showing Wedding Crashers, which has its moments.
AMC, get your styling food choices from them, because they've got Silence of the Labs.
Well, oh, so they're going to keep dogs quiet? FX has Pitch Perfect 3.
FX has Pitch Perfect 3.
And just in case you didn't hear it the first time, FXX Simpsons Marathon, it's Itchy and Scratchy Marge, Bart gets hit by a car in The Way We Was.
FXM has 300, the IMAX print, but...
I don't understand. Hey, we're sure. IFC's got a Parks and Rec Marathon.
I think maybe if you sit really close to the TV.
Maybe.
Paramount Network has Grumpy Old Men.
TBS, Trey finds a new love interest and begins to date, but his troubled past presents some unforeseen challenges in this relationship on a new The Last OG. But tonight we're watching the Lifetime Movie Network because a single mom breaks up with a boyfriend when she realizes their relationship has reached a standstill. But when he moves out, she finds her life in jeopardy when mysterious occurrences begin to transpire in her house. Jennifer Landon and Steve Lund star in Stalker in the Attic.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. Stefan places a bounty on Chad's head in order to eliminate him once and for all. He also sends an imposter to steal a computer chip that would permit him to gain control of NATO's defenses. Chad and his crew must get the chip back in order to protect the free world. When Brady manages to capture Tony, Chad must rescue his young ward as well. But Brady is tricky. I mean, he's got an alias. He sees his targets as nothing more than Deadwood. He does what he wants. He rebels. Hashtag Chappy forever.
Well, let's read some emails, shall we?
Dearest GRD, I think Bloodshot is a good popcorn movie, well worth my 60 cents with coupon code to rent. It seems the producers have read some of the source material. I was glad Redbox hasn't eviscerated the special features on the DVD so I could hear the director saying he knows what should have happened to that flower. Love, Zach Man. For 60 cents, I mean, the opening credits alone are sometimes worth that. That's a tremendous deal. Hey, geeks, I hope it's not too late. I heard Mary Hartman and was taken back to how attractive I thought Louise Lasser was in that show. Give me a break, man. I was 17. I actually tried using Google this time, and my guess is that Chad and Abby and her friends are on Mary Hartman, Mary Hartman. Well, no, they were not, but I like the way you're thinking. If you keep digging like that, you're going to get there. Billy made me LOL with the idea of Tara Strong providing a voice for My Little Tigers. Big finish. I've heard some mixed reviews that some episodes are wonderful, often marred by difficulty understanding what, say, Daleks or Cybermen are saying. I've only heard two episodes, but I love them. As for Capaldi's Sonic Shades, I thought they were brilliant. Think all of the cosplayers who are far less likely to set down their Sonics and forget them. And it's great that humanity now has a mostly unified humaned space program. That is from Bill. Yes, thank gods, Bill, because I was getting tired of all the monkeys and robots doing it, because robotic monkeys will be our downfall.
Not on my watch.
If you're going to sign up for the Robotic Monkey Watch, by all means, let us know. Drop a line, won't you? It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, you could tell us all about it by voice or text. Simply dial the magic number of
510-GRD-CREW.
Because robotic monkeys are part of Leonardo's plan, damn it!
If you like audiobooks and science fiction, you should be listening to Glow in the Dark Radio for free science fiction audio adventure every week. Written and read by author and radio host Mike Luoma. Me. As an up-and-coming independent writer, I share my work for free each week, chapter by chapter, to get you into my science fiction, I hope. Check out all my books at glowinthedarkradio.com and listen to Glow in the Dark Radio free each week on iTunes, TuneIn, or just head to glowinthedarkradio.com.
Hi, this is Marina Baccarin, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
Indeed you are. Which makes us so, so, so happy.
Sir.
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
Come on, we're men of action. Lies do not become us. What's out, sir?
Harley Quinn, the complete first season.
So good. Star Trek Short Treks for all of you Discovery people that may not have caught it the first time around.
From our must-be anime based on title alone, we've got Demon Lord. Retry! The complete series.
Sound! Euphonium! The movie. Our promise, a brand new day.
Phantom. Requiem for the Phantom. The complete series. Is Billy Zane in this one?
I hope so. Hinsuki, are you willing to fall in love with a pervert as long as she's a cutie?
Actually went through one time the Crunchyroll app and looked at all of the different anime titles, and some of them, that is not an uncommon style.
No, they're reading.
I love it. In our re-release aisle, we've got Jaws, the 35th anniversary edition.
We also have a very new, super spiffy, special, fantastic version of Gordon.
And in our regular movies aisle, we've got Cover Me.
They did a movie, that Bruce Springsteen song? We've got Doom, Annihilation.
Beanpole.
Homo Say What?
Okay, those are actual titles. We weren't making fun of you.
No, we were not. No, we were not.
The Queen's Corgi.
We're still not making fun of you. Rogue Warfare. The Hunt.
Parasite.
1BR.
You son of a... Okay, so we weren't going to make fun of each other. I'm just going to assume that wasn't meant as... Wait a minute, if you don't believe me, just look it up on Urban Dictionary. That's all I'm saying. In the trap.
But we're going to get the story of a single mother who decides to move to a small town with her troubled teenage daughter, believing this will be their chance for a fresh start. But someone in the town dies from a drug overdose. The mother suspects the doctor she works for may be involved. As the town's secrets start to unfold, she and her daughter become targets. Desperate to survive, they try to escape before it's too late. William Mark McCullough and Anna Alexander star in Murder! RX.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Take a look at the world from a geeky point of view. What, Murder by Prescription was really too hard of a title? Hey, are you ready for a new rumor?
Am I ever?
We know Boba Fett's going to be in season 2 of The Mandalorian. We know Tamara Morrison is going to be in season 2 as well.
Dude, we did this one already. Might not be him.
True. But in a move that is sure to enrage the awful set of fanboys out there, in the upcoming season of The Mandalorian, the rumor says that Boba Fett will take off that helmet, revealing the identity to be a woman.
Nope. Nope. Adding a letter to the first name is too easy of a joke.
To stoke the basement-dwelling fanboy anger even more, the rumor goes on to say the female Boba Fett will get an animated spinoff series on Disney Plus from Leslie Headland, who was recently announced to be tackling a new Disney Plus Star Wars series.
And not... a continuation of the Boba Fett from the holiday special?
Outrage, friend.
Potential spoilers say a flashback scene in The Mandalorian will apparently show the real Boba Fett crawling out of the Sarlacc pit following what was thought to be his demise in Jedi, but Boba Fett ends up perishing in the desert.
Tamara Morrison in a role that should have surprised you.
The Jaws are said to find Boba Fett's body where they take his armor and it's acquired by Sabine Wren, the female Mandalorian from Star Wars Rebels, who will become Boba Fett, and her subsequent adventures as a female Fett should lead to the animated show on Disney+.
And this makes a lot of sense, and doesn't leave any room for the neckbeards to complain. Just please tell me the theme song is the one that MC Chris did.
The rumor comes from the Future Ruler, the Overlord DVD YouTube channel, who previously leaked Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker ending details, as well as info about Spider-Man, Brie Larson, Captain Marvel, goes on to say the plans from Kathleen Kennedy and that a civil war is taking place at Lucasfilm between Kennedy and Jon Favreau. But maybe this can be settled by also having a Boba Fett prequel series, which will lead to some of the best catchphrases from the entire series, including, Dad, watch out! Get him, Dad! Get him! And, Dad! Ton, who's here?
Today's Sign of the Times. Dozens of journalists at Microsoft's MSN and Microsoft News organizations are being phased out in favor of artificial intelligence, according to multiple reports.
I am Newsbot. You will be informed. Click like and subscribe. You have 30 seconds to comply.
Roughly 50 staffers received the news that their contracts would not be renewed after their June 30th expiration date. All are employed through outside agencies, including 27 writers with the UK's PA Media Group.
Do AI reporters get benefits?
Like all companies, we evaluate our business on a regular basis, a Microsoft person said in a statement via the Seattle Times. This can result in increased investment in some places and, from time to time, redeployment in others. These decisions are not the result of the current pandemic.
But is a daring new tactic in finding Sarah Connor.
Microsoft's news organizations already relied on algorithms for finding the most popular trending stories from among the company's many publishing partners. Because they haven't had original content in years. Boom, roasted. But they still relied on old-fashioned flesh-and-blood writers to help frame this content by tweaking wording, headlines, and photos. Contract employees were also responsible for some day-to-day operations like maintaining editorial calendars for MSN's partner news websites or curating scheduled content.
Yeah, but AI can't get you coffee.
It's been semi-automated for a few months, but now it's full speed ahead. One of the terminated contractors told the Seattle Times, "It's demoralizing to think machines can replace us, but there you go. That's life."
Life. Don't talk to me about life.
Many outlets have been expanding the role of AI and machine learning in their newsrooms for years now. The Associated Press, Reuters, and the Washington Post are among several that have adopted automated systems for content management, whether it's through suggesting headlines, parsing the daily flood of press releases, posts, and comments, or helping to cover what reporters aren't always able to, such as local sports and elections. Google has also begun funding automated news projects and designing training resources for journalists to incorporate AI into their newsrooms.
What could possibly go wrong?
The lack of human perspective, maybe, but just imagine they run a story about a dead person's remains being found in a fire pit. Then the AI suggests other stories you might like. And they offer another local story about the murder, a separate article featuring the deceased, and a listicle of where to get the best ribs near you. Of course, that is until the hackers take over and tell us whatever they want to.
Hey, collectors, here is your chance to grab the oldest new car on sale.
What are they offering, my mother the car?
They're offering the 1964 Aston Martin DB5, made famous in Goldfinger with Sean Connery as James Bond. They'll be recreating the British... It'll be recreated by British car maker and Eon Productions, which produces the 007 films. The DB5 has also been featured in modern Bond films, most notably Skyfall in 2012.
They're not going to 3D print this one, too, are they?
No. Aston Martin is using old-world techniques to build the DB5s, also applying modern engineering and performance measures. Aston Martin says the process takes about 4,500 hours per car.
Well, that is going to make it affordable.
To make it even more pricey for James Bond fans out there and Super Spy wannabes, the DB5 will come with Q's gadgets featured on the car in the 1964 film Goldfinger.
Even the ejector seat?
This includes rear smokescreen, rear simulated oil slick, the revolving license plate, fake machine guns, the tire slashers.
Those are okay, but not my ejector?
Inside, there is a simulated radar screen, driver's door mounted phone, gear shift mounted firing button, among others, but there's a catch. They're only making 25 of these. For £2.75 million, $5.1 million, plus taxes, and the British government is not picking up the bill for this one.
What if it's a work expense?
Just like the original, power comes from a 4.0-liter inline six-cylinder engine making 216 kilowatts paired to five-speed manual driving rear wheels only. All vehicles feature the same aluminum body as the 60s version, are painted in the classic silver birch paint. Deliveries of the DB5 continuation are set to commence in the second half of this year.
Unless this is an elaborate joke.
I never joke about my work, 007, but why would you need a penicillin injector?
University of Notre Dame astronomer David Bennett is a co-author of a new paper describing the discovery of a new class of planets, dark, isolated Jupiter mass bodies floating alone in space, far from any host star. Bennett and the team of astronomers involved in the discovery believe that the planets were most likely ejected from developing planetary systems.
Wait, they got a bouncer?
The discovery stems from an analysis of observations of the central bulge of the Milky Way galaxy taken in 2006 and 2007 by a joint Japan-New Zealand study. This analysis provides evidence of what appears to be 10 free-floating planets, roughly the mass of Jupiter. Bennett explains the likely origin of these isolated planets as planets that our results suggest that planetary systems often become unstable, with planets being kicked out from their places of birth by close encounters with other planets.
And parent stars who want to renovate their basements.
This discovery not only confirms that free-floating planets exist in space, but also indicate that they are quite common. Free-floating planets are very hard to detect, so the fact that the survey found up to 10 implies that there are many more that are not detected. The team of scientists that made the discovery estimates that there are about twice as many free-floating Jupiter mass planets as stars. This implies that free-floating planets are likely to be at least as common as planets like ours that orbit stars.
But free-floating? Where do they go?
The team said that it can't rule out the possibility that some of the planets may be in very distant orbits around stars. But previous observations by other groups suggest that Jupiter mass planets in such distant orbits are rare. Future observations by the Hubble Space Telescope would detect many of these host stars if they exist. It is a dedicated mission to find the parental stars these planets belong to. The mission is called the Povich Project.
What better way to celebrate 60 years of Sega, 40 years of Pac-Man and the Yakuza games than by drinking sake?
Maybe eating cherries at gunpoint?
Hiroshima Brewery Miyaka Hanten, makers of Senpuku brand sake, has brewed anniversary sake for Sega and Namco's Pac-Man with the brews bottled in special anniversary bottles. This isn't the first video game branded sake, as they released Final Fantasy sake in 2018.
Well, they had already done a whiskey and a shiva.
The Go Sega sake is a pure rich Junmai sake priced at 3,000 yen, 28 bucks a bottle. The Go Sega logo is part of the famed game company's 60th anniversary branding to commemorate the milestone. The Pac-Man sakes are also Junmai sakes, with the yellow Pac-Man bottling being a genshu, meaning it's got a higher alcohol by volume because it hasn't been cut with water before bottling.
And available in strawberry, orange, and apple.
Miyaki Honten is also making Yakuza-branded Junmai sake. All are part of the brand's Game Legends sake series. So maybe they'll go to all video games and give us, I don't know, Sprunk, Vladoff, or find some magic mushrooms and give us the ultimate Mario Mixer. GRD is licensed on the Creative Commons, Attribution, Non-Commercial, Non-Derivative Works, United States 3.0 license. Come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter and stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. Always a good time. And by all means, tell us what in the world you're doing. Tell us something you'd like to do. Is Saturdays a good night for everybody to play stuff? Should we do some stuff during the week as well? Should we just randomly have things going? And if you show up, fine, that's how it goes, because if you plan things, everyone gets all stressed. I don't know, but you tell me. Just drop a note. It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com, or send us a voice message to, or text as well to,
510-GRD.
Can't leave out the text.
Unable to comply.
That was lame.
What the hell are you still doing here?
God, these guys are such geek dumbasses. I know.
It's happening! Use the moose!
Kuzumon Senpa in Mandalorian. War's over, I'm a pizza Mandalorian. Historian stump, Star Wars historian. Steven debate, but they play at Benegans. Rhyme renegade, show to penetrate. First and second defense, I won't hesitate. Got a job to do when Darth's the guy that delegates. Got something against Skywalker, someone he really hates. I don't give a fuck, I'm after Solo. For all I care, he could be hiding at Yoda's dojo. Gotta make the money, credit's no good when a Jabba's run a shop in your neighborhood. Think you can cook, I got a grappling hook. Let's make this quick, cause I'm really booked. I'm a devious, degenerate defender of the devil. Shunting all the trash compactors on the detention level. My backpacks got jets. Well, I'm Boba, all that fat. Well, I bounty hunt for Jabba Hutt to finance my vet. Well, I chill in deep space. A mask is over my face. Well, I deliver the prize, but I still narrow my eyes. Cause my time I don't like to waste. Get down! I'm a question, rap inside Enigma. Get inside a slave one, find your home and signal. From Endor to Hoth, Ridley to Spock. I'll find what you want, but there's gonna be a cost. Say, my name is Boba Fett. I know my shit is tight. Start acting right, yo, frozen in carbonite. Got telescopic sight, flamethrowers on my wrist. You still don't get the gist. Spike boots have made the kick. Targets have made the hit. I see you in the Sarlacc pit. You just flipped my switch. Integrity's been dead.